Thursdays, there's 5 Thursdays in this month.
All right, this is June 16th, and the topic this month is scenarios.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. Once again, I hope that is sinking in. I hope that your mind is able to accept that you're working on that morning, noon, and night, 24/7, to bring your mind to the conclusion that not only are you connected to this thing called God, you are a God, or you could call yourself a God in the making, or a godling, and see what that will do for you. And when I use that term, your gods and goddesses, you know, it's in the Bible. Know that ye are gods. It's right in there. So it's nothing that I'm making up. Other places do not like to remind you of that because they want separation. Because regardless of the religion that's going on out there, good, bad, indifferent, and there may be good things in it, and there may not be good things in some of it, there's always that thread of truth going through it. But the world, since it is so convincing and all, it teaches separation, and that filtered into the church. So that most churches, most religions teach separation, that God is outside of you, that God is different than you, and therefore you must look up to God, you must do this with God, you must worship God, you must glorify God, instead of knowing that you should glorify yourself, and you should look up to yourself, and you should take care of yourself. Because the more you love yourself, the more you are proving that this thing called God actually exists. And with that said, Andy, will you read this passage?
I am made in the image of God inwardly.
I am made in the image of God inwardly.
I am made in the image of God inwardly.
I am made in the image of God inwardly.
And I am made in the image of God inwardly. What does that mean? We know perfectly well that God is not a human being, that God is anthropomorphic. We also know that God is intelligence, God is wisdom, God is an energy, God is an all other things, but not human. And everyone wants to make God human because he can understand a superhuman being like Superman or somebody. And we think God is superhuman. God has no human qualities whatsoever. God only has God qualities. We have human qualities and we have God qualities. And as I said before, our job here is to come to the conclusion that we have more God qualities than human qualities. And here again, the world wants to tell you that you're only human. Well, I want to tell you that you're more than human. You are human, but you're much more than that. And you must transcend that humanness that you have so that you can start to see yourself as God. So the question always is, are you moving closer to God or are you moving back from God? And we should be moving closer all the time to God. And as I said before, I take an inventory and I sometimes fail miserably on that thing because I do something. I said, well, that was not God-like. That was not God-like. So when I try to think, when I want to talk about somebody, I don't want to carry gossip, I want to do different things, I say, how would God handle this? How would God think about this? You see? Instead of how does the world think about it, how do humans think about it? If we keep thinking in human terms, how are we going to evolve? How are we ever going to get to this point where we know that we are gods, where we have this creative ability to do something more with our lives? And that's what this is all about. And to give up the idea that we're separated from God, that God in any way punishes people, God does not punish you. And so many people think God's watching you. God's not watching you. You know, you have to watch yourself. God is just loving you all the time. He's just sending nothing but love, 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 love. And that unconditional love, which we do not understand. No one understands unconditional love. Because here again, the world says, oh yes, you must love this, love that. But it's always with a condition. I will love you if you do this. I will love you if you make the money. I will love you if you blah, blah, blah. Whatever it is, we always have a condition on love. Instead of just loving the person for the way they are. I'm working with a mother right now, but her son, of course, has been told, and she bought into it, that he's not mentally well in one shape or other. Well, he's out there in the world, and he keeps getting himself into little scrapes and so forth. And I said, you must love him back to center, and you must stop seeing him as that. You know, what's known in one point of mind is known in all points of mind. When I say to people, I will hold that in mind for you. If I know it in my mind, eventually, if you have to know it in your mind. Because the mind of God is a hologram, and if I know it in this spot, it must eventually be known in all spots in mind. So I hold good things for people. If they come for jobs, whatever they want, their health, whatever it is. If you hold that thought in mind, in your mind, and you do not see them the way the world does or the way they see themselves, they will eventually change on their own because of that idea. What's known in one spot in mind must be known in all spots in mind. So, anytime you want to change anything out there, see it the way you want it and hold it that way, and it will start to change. And this is with humans. Now, this young man has been told for so long that he's not mentally well. His parents think he's not mentally well. But if you start to change that thought about him and love him what I call back to center, then that will happen. He will come back to center. Instead of telling everyone, my son's crazy or my son's mentally ill or this, that, or that is an affirmation. You just keep putting that out there, and he's going to live up to that. Now, it may be absolutely true that he's not thinking correctly, but he has to be using the mind of God. There's no other mind to use, and the mind of God is not crazy. So all he has done is gotten off center, off balance, and he needs to be put back into balance. And you do that by loving the person. I believe anybody in that they put away in these, we used to call it the crazy house, if you love them enough, they will come back to center. If schizophrenia, all that stuff can be cured by not seeing them as that. And yes, these conditions do exist and so forth, but you can't buy into it. The doctor buys into it, the staff buys into it, the family buys into it, everyone buys into it, and then that's the role that person is cast into. And we're talking about scenarios and so forth. Also, in with these scenarios and so forth, you have a scenario in your family, and you're always cast into a role in your family. Very hard to get out of a role that the family casts you into. And you get cast into that at a very early age. He's the intelligent one. He's the one that gets into trouble. He's the one that does that. He's, she, whatever it is. And they keep you in that. And then when you start to change, it makes them very nervous, because now you're no longer doing the role that they want you to play. We're all playing roles here, people, and we're making it up as we go usually, but we're playing a role. And in a family you're always going to be cast into some role of some sort, and very hard to break out of that, because the family does not want you to break out of that. They want you to be what they have cast you as. So, when a family does that to you, don't allow it. If you don't want to play that role, don't play that role just simply because How many people do you know that they have said to the kid, oh, that's a bad boy, that's a bad boy, well, the poor boy becomes bad. Instead of saying you're a good person and seeing them person, we cast people all the time into roles, and then they start to play that role because that's a scenario that they're using, and they're living up to the roles that you're cast into. I was cast into many roles in my family, and when I break out of them, it confuses the heck out of them. They have no idea. And my brother and sister-in-law in particular, they always say, oh, yes, you know how you are, Dallas, blah, 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 blah. They haven't known me. 18 years of my life, they have known me. They haven't known the last 50 years. I have changed in 50 years, but they don't see that because they cast me in a role and they keep me in that role. In their mind, when they think of me, they think of those things and they think of all the little things I used to do and so forth. I don't do those little things anymore. But the role has been cast. So you have to think of that for yourself, and if you have children, what role did you cast your children into? Don't do that, and don't do it to yourself. Don't put yourself in those roles. If you don't want to play that role, you don't have to play that role anymore. You've always been the good boy. You've always been my best son, and all that kind of stuff. No. Think of a different way to go about it and learn to love that person. And it's always, anytime somebody's doing something that we're not pleased with and looks a little strange stuff, it's simply because they have gotten off balance and they need to love themselves, and we need to love them back to what I call center. And that's the way that one works. So as I said last week with these scenarios and so forth, they're just all the little things that are going on in your mind. You can call it mind talk, you can call whatever you want. Well, we come up with all kinds of little schemes and so forth and stories in our minds. And then we start to play those out and we think that that's real. And none of that is real. We're making all that up. Now, we do have a creative mind. We know that our minds are creative. So why don't we create good things about ourselves? Why don't we create something? I had a friend that hadn't called me for quite a while, and my mind immediately wanted to go to, oh, something bad happened. Maybe he's in the hospital. Maybe this has happened. Maybe that has happened. And I sat myself down and I said, stop that. That's a scenario. That's a story you're telling yourself, Dallas. You don't know if it's true, if it's false. You don't know anything about that, and you're making all this up. And now you're going to start the worry game. And why do you want to do that? When you don't have the information, you don't have any facts or figures or any information on this, but your mind is going right there. And why is it going to, oh, maybe he's in the hospital, maybe he got hurt, maybe he got attacked on the street, maybe this happened to him, maybe that. My mind never came up with one good thing. I had set myself down and changed that to, he's absolutely all right. Now, how do I know that he's absolutely all right? Because God is everywhere. There's not a spot where God is not. He has to be being taken care of by this thing that we call God, by this energy that is out there. And that's what you have to know, instead of going down that horrible road all the time, maybe you people don't. But we have a tendency, our minds always have a tendency, to find all the bad things and to think that something has gone on. If somebody doesn't come home on time for work, oh, maybe they got into an accident. We don't. Our minds never say, everything's already stopping to buy me flowers or something. You know, it doesn't say that, does it? It says, oh, no, something happened. You have to watch this. This is your mind. And that's what this whole teaching is about, science of mind. Yes, it is God-oriented, but until you are able to control your thinking, life is going to be very difficult for you. And we all fall for it because we see everybody else do it. And this worry game and all this kind of stuff. But watch in your own mind what it does to you. If you come up with an idea and you think, oh, this is a wonderful idea, your mind will immediately tell you 5 to 10 reasons why it won't work. They will not tell you 5 to 10 reasons why it will work. So you have to set yourself down and you have to say, listen, mind, I want to know something different here. I do not want to go down the same path as everybody else. These are thought atmospheres. It's habit. We are puppets of our own conditioning. And what the world wants to do, and I believe this was Vernon Howard or Howard Vernon. Anyway, I'll think of his name. He lived in Denver. He wrote many books. And the story he tells is about the world. The world wants to give you a helmet so that everyone is a helmeted person. Everyone is wearing a helmet. And as soon as you put on that helmet, now you're starting to think like everybody else and you fall in line with everybody else. You do not want a helmet, people. You want to stay away from that. Groups, organizations, all those things want you to think like they do. They want you to go down the same scenario, the same route that they're doing. And we seem to think that we feel better for around people who are thinking the same way we are. And then we say, oh, my thinking must be correct because, look, all those people are thinking the same thing. Well, usually all those people are not. They may be thinking the same thing, but it's not what I want to think. And just because they're all thinking it doesn't make it right. It's what you're thinking. And that's, what are you thinking about yourself? Are you always holding yourself in the highest of esteem? You have to do that. No one is going to do that for you. And this mind is not going to say to you, you're a wonderful, marvelous person. You must train your mind to tell you that. Your mind is going to say, oh, you made a mistake. Look at that. This is horrible. Look what you've done now. Yada, yada, yada. So that critical talk, you have to stop that critical talk that's going on inside of you. It's very believable because the world is very believable. The world is convincing. Your mind is convincing. Do not be convinced by that. Know that you are an individualized expression of God, that you are thinking differently than other people. Anything that new came into this world because somebody thought differently. Otherwise, it would be the same. And how many times when I was in school, what did we have? The folly, the steam engine, and so forth. Remember? Everyone said, oh, that would never work, the steam engine. And they called it Fulton. Was it Fulton who did it? Fulton's folly? And then steam engines came into existence. But no one was for the steam engine. They all thought, oh, that can't work. But it did work. So you have to be able to do those things. I heard recently on television, somebody at an award ceremony or something, doing the idea of the bumblebee. Why does the bumblebee fly? Because it doesn't know that it can fly, but aerodynamically, they say it can't fly. When they look at it, because the wings are too small for the big body. But it doesn't know that, so it flies. You see? And that's what we have to know. Just because people tell you you can't do something does not mean that it cannot be done. People don't want to try. And people usually say that because they don't want you to succeed because they didn't succeed in it. So it makes them feel better if no one's doing it. That's fine. You see, now we're happy. We're content. People are, as I said many times, are sheep. And sheep are the dumbest animals that we know. They just follow the group, but they do anything that the group's doing. If one falls off the cliff, they all fall off the cliff. Don't do that. My friend Joyce Reynolds always says, you have to look around and say, who's leading? Who's the leader here? Who's the leader? Because there's usually no leader. People are just following something. They're not doing it. So be your own leader. Think for yourself. I gave a talk a long, long time ago about becoming a map maker. You must become a map maker in your life. Don't read somebody else's map and follow what they have done. You have to be a trailblazer. You have to be a map maker and make your own map. If you don't make your own map, you're not going to get anywhere. If Columbus didn't make his own map, people would still think that the world was flat. So we are map makers. When we think differently, when we say that the world can be different, that we can be different, that we can become closer and closer to this thing called God and eventually become God, you see, then we are being map makers. When we say that we're made in the image and likeness of God, we know that God is not a human being. That's an inward. We have all the qualities of God. We have to have all the qualities of God inside of us. But the world takes those away from us, and the world says, oh, no, you can't do that. The only time that they said that a human was God was this man called Jesus. And then they said, but that's the only time that this can ever happen. And it's not the only time that this can ever happen. We have to know that we are just as good as this man called Jesus. We say different things that which are absolutely baffles me. We say God does not show favorites. Well, if God doesn't show favorites, then why do they say that Jesus was special? That Jesus could do things that other human beings couldn't. See, God wouldn't do that. God does not show favorites because God is in each and every one of us. It may be an individualized thing, but God loves each and every one of us exactly the same. Exactly the same. We get the impression, because of living in families and so forth, oh, mother loves that one more than she loves me. That's usually not true. Sometimes it is. But with this thing called God, God always, always loves you. I was out running around the other day, and it was in front of a church. It was for the sermon for the week was how to impress God. There's no way you can impress God. God cannot be impressed. If God could be impressed, then that would be a human quality. God always remains exactly the same. Nothing disturbs God. Nothing impresses God. God just is love, 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 love. If God could be impressed by sacrifice and incense and all that, which people think, all that outward show is for the audience. It's not for God. God could care less about any of that stuff. It's for the people. It's for the humans. And I love to burn incense. I burn incense every day. But I don't burn it because I think it's going to improve my status with God. I burn it because I like the smell of it. You see, I like good smells. I like good tastes. I like good feelings. I like anything that's good. And I strive for those things. Good taste. All that kind of stuff. Anything like that. And my philosophy is, this is what God is. Is all in your senses and in your touching and in your tasting and so forth. Wonderful things out there to do. And this is what we have to think about and we have to do. If we're going to start to become this thing called God. Now, does that mean we're going to create universes and all this kind of stuff? That I don't know. But I knew that why I'm on this plane of action and why I'm here for the short time that I am on this plane of action, I'm going to try to do my very best to know more and more about this thing and to become more and more like God. Not to impress God, not to impress anybody else, simply because it makes me feel better. And I do things that make me feel better, not that make anybody else. I could care less what other people are doing. I never bother with them. Doesn't concern me. What they want to do, if it makes them feel good, allow them to do it. You know, I don't criticize people for anything that they do. I don't know what's going on with those people. I only know what's going on with me. And the same way when I tell you people and talk to you, these are my views. This did not come from on high someplace. I did not get a tablet with this written down, you know, and it's a sacred tablet or anything. I just open myself, my mind, and I hope that I am receiving information, inspired information, and new information, original information. And yes, I do read and I take ideas from other people and I add to it. And I say some things sometimes that aren't true. In fact, I said something the other day, and it was to you, Andy. And after you left, I thought, why did you say that? You don't know that. It was about the Course in Miracles. And here again, I caught myself after my big mouth opened up. I said what I knew about the Course in Miracles was that it teaches shame and guilt. Now, I read the Course in Miracles. Does it teach shame and guilt? Now, I remember where I got that from. I got that from Kennedy Schultz, because he would never let us read the Course in Miracles. But I did read it. But the shame and guilt part came from somebody else. And I accepted that, because I admired him. But as soon as I heard myself doing that, and after you left, in my mind then, that I don't know if that's true or not. You say, I don't know if that's true. Somebody else told me that. In my life, I try to find out my own truths, not just take somebody else's truth. And so many people do that. They say, oh, well, he's the minister, he's this, so he's telling us the truth. I doubt that seriously. He's telling you a truth. He's not telling you the truth. And we get so many things put into us. I admired Kennedy Schultz, so I thought he was telling me the truth. Now, was he or wasn't he? Well, he wouldn't deliberately lie, but I cannot prove that fact, that it does teach shame and guilt. That was something that was embedded in me by somebody else. So now I have to find that out for myself. So, along with these scenarios and so forth that go on, we have to hear what we're saying. We have to be alert. We have to become aware. We have to become this thing called a witness to our own thinking, so that we can stop some of this ridiculous stuff that goes on out there. And we can only do that by listening to what we're saying. Have you ever been around people, they just talk and talk and talk, they have no idea what they're saying. They never hear themselves talk. You must hear what you're saying. I'm getting better and better at that, but I'm still not fast enough to catch it. It's an afterthought. After I say something, maybe 20 minutes sometimes the next day, my mind goes, well, why did you say that? You have no proof of that. Why did you bother even to say that? So that's what we have to. We have to see. This is a mind, and we have to be able to make it work for us. We have to be able to think the thought that we want to think. That is absolutely the crux of science of mind. To be able to think the thought that you want to think, and to be able to feel the feeling that you want to feel, instead of allowing other people to do that for you. The other thing that I've talked about many times in this week was very apparent with everyone I talked to, this idea of taking things personally all the time. You can't. When somebody says something to you, it's their story. It's what's going on with them. It has nothing to do with you whatsoever. But we take it very personal. You cannot do that. That's what, remember with parents and so forth, children get so upset with their parents and so forth. You can't take anything your parents did to you personally. They would have done it to anybody. They would have done it to anybody. So you have to say, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And as much as you may admire your parents and as intelligent as they are, they don't have all the information. They don't have all the knowledge. Nobody has all the knowledge. We do the very best we know how to do. But if we start with the premise that we are moving closer to God, that we have God-like qualities in us, that we can cultivate, that we can bring to the surface of our life, and that we can become more and more God-like and less human, then we have a chance to change this world and to change ourselves for the next generation, so that kids grow up in a different world than we had. With this world that we are living in now cannot keep continuing. It's antiquated. It's out of style. There's so many things that have to go by the wayside. But we're not able to give them up because that's the way it always was. That's the way we've always done it. And you've heard that so many times. The other expression is that ain't broke, don't fix it, you know. But there's a lot of broken things out there that people don't think that are broken, and they are broken. And it is our job to now try to fix them. Not in a pounding way, but in a loving way. Setting an example, showing people that there are a different way to go through life. We had an affirmation about a couple years ago, and that's why the website is there. And it was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful me. And you have to tell yourself that you are wonderful. And you are wonderful. You have to tell yourself that you're an individualized expression of God. And then, what does that mean to you? What does it mean to me? What does that mean? That you're an individualized expression of God. You have to start to love yourself. You have to hold yourself in this thing, the highest of esteem. You just have to just lavish yourself with love all the time. And what else do we have to know? That we are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yes. Know that you matter to yourself, but you also matter to this thing called God. You must realize that this thing called God would be incomplete without you. God needs each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. We have something to offer. We do things differently than other people. That's what this whole thing is about. If we all did everything the same, wouldn't this be an absolute boring world? And it's not a boring world. It's a wonderful world filled with just variety after variety and possibilities after possibilities. And that's what this thing God is all about. All possibilities. Anything is possible with this thing called God. So everything has to be possible with you. And when the world or anybody else tells you that it can't be done, say, watch, I'm going to show you. And then quietly go about doing that and become what you want to become. But if you're going to be here on this plane of action, I think it's a waste of your life not to love yourself. And not to say, I'm having a great time. Thank you for everything. Thank you for my life. Yes, it went this way. Yes, it went that way. Yes, many things went wrong. But I love this life. I'm having a great time. That's what we have to do. And you will have a great time. I'm having a ball. Every day I have an absolute ball with this thing. And I want it to continue for as long as it can. And I recently, many people have left this plane of action. So I feel very, very blessed and grateful that I'm still able to experience what's going on out there. I was out the other night and the moon was absolutely wonderful. Absolutely gorgeous. And I said, isn't that, people say, oh, no beauty in the world. Well, just look up at the moon or look up at the stars or watch the sunset. Look at the things that we have to be thankful for. We don't need all this other stuff. We have everything that we need here. And then we turned it. We had everything. We could be just walking around all the time looking at beautiful things, but we turned it into this rat race. And I don't think this rat race is the way life is supposed to be. I very seldom get out into the traffic, but I had to take somebody home in the traffic the other night. Well, I was absolutely amazed. I thought, these people do this every day. I mean, it's just incredible. And I don't think that's what this thing called God intended. That we're back and forth in these tin cans, running here, there, and everywhere. There has to be more to life. There has to be more to your life than you ever can imagine. And with your desires, with all those things, with the scenarios that you're telling yourself, keep, what do you really want? And then make the scenario match what you want. Make your mind help you. Make your mind tell you what's good for you. Don't let your mind do you in. The young man that I told you about earlier, who his parents think he's crazy, and apparently he thinks he's crazy, that's just a story he's telling himself. It's a scenario that he set up. He can get out of that if he wants to, but he has to be able, he has to be told that that is possible. But at the present moment, he doesn't think that it's possible. He thinks that's who he is. Anytime that you think what you are is who you are, there's something wrong somewhere. We're changing constantly. We're just changing constantly. And that is what this world, that's why everything is so wonderful, that we change constantly. You see? And look at the people. One day you can be poor, one day you can be rich. It doesn't matter. That's an outside thing. It's the steadiness that's going on in the inside of you. If you're centered in this thing called God, all those little things don't matter. They really don't matter. You must stay pleasant. I know a woman who lost $1 million. She's as happy and pleasant as she ever was. She doesn't concern her one bit. She's still out doing what she wants. So many people want $1 million. What are they going to do with $1 million? Hide it under the bed or put it in the bank? It's not doing any good there. You can be just as happy with no money as you can with money. You know, money can't bring you happiness. It can buy many things for you, but it cannot make you happy. Only you can make you happy. And only you can become happy when you start to love yourself. When you start to see yourself as a wonderful, wonderful human being. And we're all wonderful. We're all unique. And what we do is we start to compare ourselves with somebody else. And you cannot do that. You cannot compare yourself. You're unique. There has never been anyone before like you. There will never be anyone again like you. You are unique. So don't compare yourself. And the world wants to compare. And this thing called God does not compare. It does nothing but love and love and love. So accept that love and know that you are the beloved, and then learn to love yourself. If God can love you, why can't we learn to love ourselves? And we learned that from day one. If you went to Sunday school, you learned that God loves you. So if God loves you, why do so many people, they don't like themselves or they don't love themselves? So to go through your life from here on in, not liking or loving yourself must be a horrible way to go through life. You know, what's the sense of it all then? To get out there in that rat race to make money, to just keep working and thinking that, no, that is not it. The secret to life is to learn to love yourself. Just the way you are, with all the wrinkles, all the freckles, or whatever they call those things. We're all beautiful, beautiful people. We're all magnificent people. So learn to love. Makes all the difference in the world. Loving, loving, loving. So when your mind comes up with a scenario that takes you where you don't want to go and wants to do you in, or do somebody else in, or that's the way they are, and I'm never going to call them back, and blah, 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 whatever it's doing to you, make it stop. That's not using your mind correctly. That's a waste of time to do that. It may be amusing, and it does fill in the time, but it's not useful to you. It's not useful to you. Love those people, bless them, release them, and come back to center and love yourself. And just keep doing it till it makes sense to you. And I'm certainly not going to tell you that I know that every day that I do that. Some days, oh, it's wonderful. Some days I'm so off center, it's pathetic. I ran into a friend of mine, an acquaintance. Made me so mad, I was cussing and swearing. Oh, you shouldn't be swearing and stuff. I said, I always swear. It's one of the things I'm trying to get out of. But I don't care. I do not punish myself for that. I'm learning. I'm doing it less and less. I'm doing it less and less. But I do swear. And I will admit that to people. But I love myself. Even when I'm swearing, I love myself. And that's the secret. And if I can do it, you can do it. And I'm learning to catch my mind. I caught my mind an hour or so after you left. I thought, why would I have said that to Andy? That is shame and guilt. I don't know that for a fact. That somebody else gave me. They gave me that idea and I accepted it. We have to analyze everything that comes in. Is it really true? See, we become very lazy. And we become lazy. We let the news media tell us everything, and we start to believe everything the news media instead of checking into it. Most of the stuff that they tell you, and if you look into it, it's not true. They blow it all out of proportion. And we say, oh, yeah, well, that's on television. So they're important people, so they must be telling us the truth. No, they're not. Unless somebody is telling you that you are pure love and that they love you, they are not telling you the truth. They are not telling you the truth. So, people, stay away from people who don't love you. You are lovable, and you must be with people who tell you that. And so many people aren't. And it's a tragedy in this world, and we would have the world would be excuse me, completely different if we loved ourselves. Would be completely different. We wouldn't have this. We wouldn't have anything going on out there. The yelling, the screaming, whatever we're saying to other people, that idiot or whatever, it wouldn't occur to us to say those things. It's love. So this idea of scenarios, keep a scenario of love going on inside of your mind where that you can bring yourself to love everything regardless of what is going on in there, regardless of what people are saying about you or about anything. Love that person and don't judge by appearances. We sometimes think, oh, that person's ugly, that person's this, that person doesn't come up to my standards. That person is absolutely perfect. And that person is an individualized expression of God. And God is working in, as, and through that person, as God is working in, as, and through each and every one of us. So, with your mind, keep your mind on this idea of loving all the time. You can manifest so many more things, you know, with a loving mind than you can when it's not loving. And when you feel something going on, just love yourself back to center. Say, oops, I'm off center right now. I'm going to love myself back to the center. That center of stability, that center within inside of you, which is pure love, which is pure God, is there all the time. It never changes. We change. We go this way, we go that way. All we ever have to do is love ourselves back to center. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.